You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you, too. This is actually wild to me. You just said good afternoon.
Because it's actually morning.
It's actually morning as we're recording.
It's just so sunny, though.
Yeah. For once. So, of course, we know this is actually our last episode from L.A.
Yeah, that's right.
We are enjoying the sunshine that we've been deprived of for the last 24 hours.
It's like I said, I think, in an earlier episode. Like, I never thought my first trip to L.A. I'd have to intentionally leave my sunglasses behind
right
in Mississippi. Like, it's just been so dingy, and the poor people that live here, you know, have just been dealing with this these incredible storms and stuff. But man, the sun's peeking through today. It's Sunday, and it's a beautiful Sunday day.
And the sun got the memo.
And man, you see the mountains kind of in the distance here in LA, which you know, it's really neat. When Bo and I take these trips, we don't really get to explore any of the places we're in, so it is kind of this like interesting experience. You know, you kind of stick your toe in the water in these interesting places and then immediately leave. But I get the sense that this would be a really fun city to get to know. And
I know people
like to come back sometime.
I know people who love it. It you know, and then we've got some great listeners. We're hoping to actually meet up with some tonight.
Yeah, I think we're going to. Yeah.
They're out in this area. The LA Pipe Club in particular, I think, has been, you know, especially pre-COVID, was pretty going pretty strong.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's one of those cities. It's funny because it's not, LA is not necessarily what you might think of as the pipe capital of the world.
Right.
And yet here we are about to do a pipe capital of the world and kind of give a final episode in this series, and I think the most appropriate way.
Yeah.
Man, there's some things we got to acknowledge first before we get started.
Yeah.
And that is that we are now here, you know, at the very close to last. We got two more weeks of this, but the next 2 weeks are going to be, you know, our shows from Jackson, Mississippi, live event.
This is our third to last episode.
Yeah.
That will ever air.
That's right. Well,
God willing.
Yeah, that's heavy.
It certainly as planned, you know. I mean, that's kind of the intent. And so, yeah.
But I think we need to, you know.
That hits.
It does. The weight is, it's very weighty from that standpoint. But there's a couple, but we have to acknowledge the fact that we've been able to do this. We've been able to produce these shows and bring folks the shows since the beginning of when we kind of opened up the Patreon account to, you know, the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah.
This has been happening because of the support of our patrons. And so even here at the very kind of tail end, we got to give a shout out to some folks who have been helping to get us across the finish line, so to speak, and really working to help us work, so to speak. And so, man, we got to give a shout out, man. At the Squire level, we've got Kath Ortez or Aura. Kath Ortez Aura.
You know, Bo,
Right
up to the end, just doing your job, man.
Yeah. I think I nailed it.
But. No, honestly, yeah. I mean, Kath Ortez Aura.
If I'm butchering it, it is unintentionally, which is probably far more offensive than
I feel like phonetically, that's the right way to say it. If you're just, it's like the other day when you couldn't say Francois.
Yeah.
But like as an English speaker, you look at it, it's like it's Francois.
That's Francois. That's
right.
Well,
I mean, phonetically, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least, you know, from
Kath Ortez, it's the same thing. I think I nailed it. Thank you so much.
We're grateful for
at the Squire level,
Mr.
Absolutely.
Or Miss Aura for supporting us.
Absolutely. Man, also at the Patreon level, we've got Zach, and then also another Squire man. We've got Brian McNevin.
McNevin?
Now, McNevin, I know, is actually written into the show. I want to say has been a patron in the past. So we might have joined up to help us get across the finish line.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate you. Appreciate all of you who have been helping to make this show happen over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio.
Yeah.
Man, okay, here we go. We are talking about pipe capitals of the world. You know, when crafting these episodes for this kind of final recording retreat, one of the things that I was trying to be kind of like cognizant of, I know you are too, is very much the weight of the moment and recognizing that, you know, these final episodes in many respects will actually be the first that a lot of people in the future will listen to, just the way that the distribution kind of shows up on catalogs and everything
else. I guess people do a lot of times start from back to front.
That's right. Well, they get like the first couple, they cherry pick off the top.
Right.
And then if they like it, they then kind of go back and they binge listen to older episodes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this being the case, I feel like the Pipe Capitals of the World series, which is relatively new in the last few years, we've kind of introduced that, is kind of a good one to make sure that we feature here. But there is no better Pipe Capital of the World to highlight here as we look at kind of the twilight episodes of Country Squire Radio than what has become a pipe mecca for some, a location that is worthy of holy travels to many. I'm talking about a place that perhaps 10 years ago wasn't quite on the map the way that it is today for folks all around the world make their pilgrimage to this one location.
Yeah.
And that is a city in central Mississippi called Jackson. Jackson, Mississippi, pipe capital of the world and home to the Country Squire tobacconist. John David, we're going to be talking about the Country Squire, the history of the shop, the great culture that exists there, what it has been, how it came together,
how it's evolved,
changed through hands and the wonderful folks that shop and reside there, people who have made memories there, and friends that we have made and friends that we have had to say goodbye to all. Amidst this very special place in the Country Squire, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I do want to talk quickly about this series before we dive into the history of the Squire.
Absolutely.
What it means to us as part of the Country Squire Radio community, as the pipe smoking community. But this series, like, I think, and we may talk about some of our really proudest moments and our disappointments and things like that in our last episodes that will be recorded live, but or in front of a live studio audience, I guess you'd say. But but you know, one of my biggest disappointments, I think, in Country Squire Radio personally, professionally as a co-host, is not fleshing out this series more.
We could have, to say this was not an exhaustive series is an understatement.
I want to point the finger here because I feel like I didn't pursue this with the vigor that it really deserves.
I think you were the one that proposed the series, too.
I may have been. Yeah. I can't remember. But, when we discussed this, I had envisioned, taking listeners really around the world, think about all the historic and fantastic, and I really mean fantastic in it, I mean fantastical, like all the historic and fantastical shops, that are just pieces of magic that are scattered all over the globe. These storied places that have left their impact on pipe smoking and the pipe smoking community. There's shops in places like Denmark and Germany. But then not just to say that, we talk about all the carving houses and all the master carvers and, their workshops in their backyard, people that harvest briar, the rich pastoral places where these leaves are cultivated carefully and then sent all over the world,
And preached to.
And
you said pastoral places.
Yeah, no, that's right. The cows need preaching too, I guess. But you think about what this series could have been, and I have regrets about some things that I wish we would have done, maybe wish I would have done differently, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, taking ownership of that.
As you kind of do a post-mortem on your own podcast, like you think about some of those things. But this is one of those things for me, Bo. I wish we would have spent some more deliberate time here fleshing this out. And so we come to the end of almost the end of Country Squire Radio, and we have the benefit of saying, well, what's the pipe capital of our world, as we've kind of created this, together, not just me and Bo, but you as the listener and as the, folks that are, an integral part of our community. And, you've created this goofy little hamlet, in this sleepy southern town, as a real waypoint, you know, yeah. a real place for people to come to celebrate the pipe and to celebrate what it means to us and what it has done for our lives. And we are so honored in Little Jackson to be just a small piece of that, and you know, a small piece of your story. And so we get to talk today about the Country Squire, pipe capital of the world in Jackson, Mississippi.
Take us back, John David.
Well, it's neat, you know, from day one, it's been a privilege to be you know, kind of a host to this worldwide community that we weren't really expecting. And maybe Bo was, but I certainly weren't. And I'm thankful that
not
we,
to this level. That's
you know, have
sure.
gotten, yeah, I mean, to, you know, to be kind of the hub for that. So, you know, what's the history of this? Like, how did the Country Squire start? Why, you know, how did it develop and evolve? And what on earth happened to make this, you know, dusty old shop that time had kind of lost into this, this real force within the pipe community that, you know, I'm just the, you know, temporary caretaker of, and I always view myself that way. It's really important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I can't remember it 'cause I haven't read those books in so long, but you know, you know, in the Lord of the Rings books, and maybe it's Return of the King, but there's not a, you know, the king's not on the throne. There's just the steward, right?
Right.
And it's like the
steward of Gondor.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, the king's
with
not
his
there.
Unstable mental state.
But there's a steward, right?
Who lights yeah. himself on fire and throws him off. Are you okay, John?
Well, you know, maybe we need to talk. I like setting things on fire.
Okay, yeah, but not yourself.
My beard is kind of getting scraggly, and I don't know, there's been these wormy guys kind of hanging around me, whispering in my ear. But having said all that, you know, there is this kind of sense in which, like, it's not mine. It's not anyone's. It's kind of we get to take care of it for posterity.
Yeah.
And I really believe that. I really believe when you engage in something that's bigger than yourself, like, you know, you become protective of it. It's kind of like a trustee for a trust or for someone's you know, estate or something. You're kind of, you know, it's not yours. You're charged for looking over it for those that it's really for, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. And so we get to look at the history of the Country Squire kind of through those lenses. And so step back with me, to do that. It's the late 1960s, and World War II vet Jim Reeves had just lost his job as a Frigidaire salesman.
Frigidaire salesman.
Frigidaire.
Oh,
refrigerators,
so, yeah.
Washing machines, stoves. Think about like this was a salesman. Talk about a job that like probably doesn't really exist anymore. Certainly in that capacity.
A lot of sales jobs from that standpoint,
you know,
for sure,
but any
yeah.
kind of, I mean, you had, these are people that like made a living, you know, going around. I don't know in what capacity, if he, you know, was selling to department stores, if he was, you know, going door to door, if I have no idea, but I do know that he worked for Frigidaire as a salesman. And so, he lost his job. They were downsizing. And, this is someone that was born in 1918, mm-hmm. you know, here we're at the end of the 1960s and, he's 50 years old. And so, you know, you're a 50-year-old man and you have kind of this sense in which like, man, I'm past, you know, midlife at this point. What am I going to do? And it's yeah. probably, it's the same kind of thing as today. Like, well, you know, the older people, you know, a lot of times you think to yourself, you have a little more difficulty being marketable to employers because your skills are maybe rusty or you don't know this or that. And, you know, of course, life expectancy was shorter back then than it is now. And so you think like, man, I'm 50 and I've got to start over. And,
yeah.
you know, what do I do? I've got a wife who, you know, is in her 40s. I've got two kids that are, you know, 10 and 12. You know, what do I do? And, you know, Mr. Reeves, you know, again, just from a Mississippi town called Macomb.
Sweet home Macomb.
Sweet home Macomb. You know, and I want to say, who was the rapper from Macomb? I think, do you remember Brandy? in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah, of course I remember Brandy.
Brandy was, Brandy's from Macomb. And then I want to say Britney Spears is from Kentwood, which is just a few miles south of Macomb, but on the Louisiana side of the border.
Brandy had a television show that was big in the 90s. I want to say it was Monique.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
What was that show called? But yeah.
I can't remember. But anyway, Macomb, all that to say, Macomb, Southwest.
Moesha. It was Moesha. Moesha. Sorry, just, yeah. I love that show. It was great.
Macomb, southeast part of Mississippi. That's actually the most historical part of our state. It's right really close to Natchez. It was the part of our state that was settled first, and a lot of the Civil War stuff took place in that corner. A lot of wealth, a lot of poverty, a lot of, you know, just interesting history down that way. But he was from Macomb. His wife Gwen was a sophisticated lady that was kind of from a little different class. She was up the street in Brookhaven, which is more of a kind of a blue blood town that, you know, at least thinks of itself as a little more highbrow. Uh-huh. And, which is always funny when you talk about places like that in the South. But Mrs. Reeves had actually gotten
I got run out of that town once.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, people from Brookhaven, they don't say Brookhaven. They say Brookhaven. Uh-huh. It's not Brookhaven. Like, everyone else says Brookhaven, right. But it's like Brookhaven. Brookhaven.
Brookhaven.
You know when someone's from Brookhaven because Brookhaven. They say that. Yeah. Anyway, Mrs. Reeves, you know, she was she got a full scholarship to LSU in 1940 as a concert pianist.
Wow. And yeah.
You think about being a woman in 1940, you know, from a small poor state. You know, and yeah, you're from one of the, you know, little dinky towns that kind of considers itself to be upper crust in this, you know, big fish in a small pond kind of thing. But like, you get to go to university for free.
Yeah.
As a female. Yeah. In 1940, right as the war's getting cranked up, because you can play the keys.
Yeah, man.
And man, that was Miss Gwen. Yeah. And she was like that, man. And she was sophisticated, and she was well read. She was, a romantic at heart. She was just a really precious woman, and she and she was like that her whole life. She really was. And so, you know, you've got this family, and they're like, "What on earth do we do?" At the time, you know, the only place in Jackson, Mississippi, that you could get a pipe was at the drugstore or at JCPenney's. Now imagine,
out of curiosity. I mean, I know the JCPenney's is the one that kind of raises an eyebrow in the modern context.
Yeah, that's right.
Was this like Brent's Drugs or like you know what I mean? Was that around back in the day?
Probably, yeah. Brent's Drugs opened, back. Brent's is a
Jackson staple.
It's a Jackson staple. It was a drugstore for decades, and it's still called Brent's Drugs. It's still there, but now they just serve as a restaurant. They took away all the pharmacy
speakeasy
stuff
in the back, though.
Well, speakeasy in the back, but it's still there. Place, you know, that's where everyone in Jackson used to go get their prescriptions filled and tinctures and, you know, buy their pack of cigarettes or whatever it was. And so, and now they just sell hamburgers and, you know, ice cream sundaes and that kind of thing. But, you had to go to Penny's to buy a premium pipe or premium tobacco, right? And this was the case all over the country. A lot of these places that didn't have, a premium kind of, a top shelf tobacconist that carried these blue ribbon products. You know, you went to your department store to buy things like ashtrays and smoking accessories or your drugstore, certainly. So
it is interesting. You think about JCPenney's, fascinating. You know, even today, you know, you've got, you know, obviously just a big warehouse full of clothes and everything else. And
right.
Inundated with like perfume salesmen as soon as you walk through the entrance in the mall.
Yeah.
But you know, that you go up to the stairs where the men's stuff is, you know, the men's clothing is. But they're also like surrounding that is all these like, you know, beer pong, like these little kitschy games.
Toys and like,
And it's just, you know, you think about
gifty things. Yeah.
That mindset of like, well, we're trying to get those impulse buys all around you. But this wasn't an impulse buy. This was like your, you know, kind of a more of a higher end.
That's right.
You know, next to your higher end shoes, your higher end suits.
Well, let's think about it. Like so you made. You made partner at your little country law firm, you know, or whatever. And it's like, well, I'm going to treat myself to a to a nice pipe, yeah. right? And so where are you going to go? Well, absolutely. If you don't live in, you know, a bigger city, you know, at the time, you know, you don't really have that opportunity. There weren't many tobacconists in the Southeast. And
right.
so, you know, you went to, you know, where you could, and maybe it's where you bought your first pair of, Allen Edmonds or, you know, whatever, you know, your nicest suit you wear into court or whatever it is. And it's like, well, I'm gonna go buy me a Savinelli,
yeah.
you know? And so that's what people did. And, really, really kind of neat. So Mr. Reeves saw an opening here. He'd never been a retailer before, but he was a really good salesman. You know, they took a gamble and they wanted to open a pipe shop in Jackson. This is what's really neat to me. And I love this. And I don't know, frankly, if this would happen today, but there was a shop that opened in 1969 in Memphis, Tennessee, and it was called Tobacco Corner.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know Tobacco Corner well.
And Tobacco Corner, it closed in 2018, but it opened in Tennessee in Memphis in 1969. It was one of the first premium tobacconists in the Southeast of its kind. And it was a very sophisticated shop. It was where Elvis, you know, went to buy, you know, cigars. They carried a variety of fountain pens that, you know, a surgeon might go buy his, you know, $800 Mont Blanc there, that kind of thing. I mean, it was one of these places that was just very, very high end at the time. And the owner at the Tobacco Corner in Memphis was a man named Elliot Abel. And Mr. Abel, who a lot of folks, you know, who dealt in pipes throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s will remember his name because he did a lot of mail order stuff himself at Tobacco Corner. But Mr. Abel actually picked up the phone one day, and on the other end of the phone, he got a phone call one day.
Yeah.
And on the other end of the phone was Jim Reeves. And Jim Reeves was in Jackson, Mississippi. And he asked him this crazy question that I don't know if this would happen today. But Mr. Reeves said, you know, look, Elliot, I want to do what you're doing in a town 3 hours south of you.
Right.
Can I come work for you? Can me and my wife come work for you for free?
Oh, wow.
For a month.
Wow.
And learn your business.
Is that right?
And that's what happened. And so in some sense, like it's interesting because Tobacco Corner doesn't exist anymore, but I kind of feel like, and I've really felt the sense of the weight of this when they closed. You know, the Country Squire is kind of the child of Tobacco Corner. There's kind of a spiritual lineage there that's like, I feel like if, it, you know, and this is a different topic to some degree, but like if someone would have been there towards the end of Tobacco Corner that could have pivoted it, kind of could have, you know what I mean? Like, like what could have happened there?
I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I mean?
And I think that it goes to the stewardship, the importance of stewardship.
Yeah.
I have never said this, I don't think, on this podcast, but we're right here at the tail end.
Yeah.
And Tobacco Corner is not even, you know, I've talked about the fact that I almost put down the pipe at the very beginning because of a very poor initial experience.
Poor customer experience.
It was the Tobacco Corner in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
That was the shop. And
isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It was, and then you talk about the difference experience I got there.
Right.
Then, you know, coming to Jackson and the experience I got at the time you were managing, I believe, or assistant managing the shop.
And it just shows you like the divergence because I think the DNA was there.
It was there. Yeah.
It was there. But there's just something that took place to these pipe shops, you know, in the 90s and then 2000s. And it's like that during that time period was that it's almost like that's when it was decided, like if you were going to make it or not. And you had to decide what your outlook was going to be as a smoke shop, you really had to come to terms with what you were, and some shops didn't make it. I don't know.
This is very fascinating to me because there's an alternate reality where my experience at the Tobacco Corner in Memphis, Tennessee was fantastic.
Right.
And like, you know, the community was there, and this show could have been Tobacco Corner Radio.
Yeah.
As opposed to Country Squire Radio.
That's true. Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? Like that is a theoretical alternate reality. I don't think I've ever called them out by name before. I know we've talked about them and we've kind of like traded looks,
We've pranced around it a little bit because I have a lot of affection for that shop.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful little shop.
I really
or it was.
I really a lot of affection for that shop because our shop would not have existed without it.
Yeah.
And so, but then I also know, you know, towards the end, it's just, you know, when you get to one of those places where you, you know, you turn around and walk into a place and you're immediately, as a new pipe smoker or someone that's interested and made to feel uncomfortable, it's like, well, I, you know, you never know who's having a bad day or a good day or whatever. But at the end of the day, what you said is right. It's like every single customer experience, like, can lead somewhere.
Now, this is my Pretty Woman moment. You know, like you made a big mistake. Huge.
Oh, man.
That's what I said here with 10 years bags of Country Squire Radio. Right. All right, man. And we're going to take a quick break in the midst of this amazing epic tale to talk a little bit about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that's right. We are so thankful for our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring our show for a number of years. And they have been an integral part in making this community happen and this podcast happen. And so many wonderful products. We're so proud to be associated with them and to have had the privilege of being on their team as far as their, you know, telling their story and getting the word out about, you know, their commitment to the pipe community. So, so many great products to check out. Please go to their website, corncobpipe.com. They've got incredible selections of corncob pipes, obviously, wooden pipes, clay pipes, tobaccos and apparel, and of course the folks would be happy to ship it right to your front door.
That's right, man. And you want to talk about some great quality folks behind the scenes as well. You know, when you're buying a corncob pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, not only are you getting a quality product, you're supporting a quality business filled with quality people. Special thanks to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Ridiculous. All right, so let's get back on track here.
So, yeah. But what's interesting is, you know, all that to say, like, and we did digress quite a bit. You know, Tobacco Corner was instrumental in helping the Country Squire get started. Again, this was the shop, literally, that Elvis shopped at in Memphis. You know, they would close their shop and give him a private shopping experience with, you know, someone that would follow him around with a tray to put his cigars and his pipe tobacco on. You know, I mean, can you imagine serving the king for your, you know, his tobacco needs or whatever? But so interesting. But anyway, so Mr. Elliot Abel was kind enough to let Jim and Gwen Reeves come to Memphis for a month and shadow. And they did, and they, because they'd never been retailers. They learned, you know, about ordering, who the important vendors were, even tobacco blending, all the, you know, inventory, everything to do with retail that you can imagine. I mean, imagine, you know, knowing nothing but, like, you know, how to sell, you know, a stove or a refrigerator, and, you know, and then you're going to say, well, let's give it a go. I ain't got nothing else to, you know, shoot for, And you're going to be a pipe and tobacco retailer. That's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And they were kind enough to do that. And so they did. And that was a real part. Interesting side note, when Tobacco Corner closed, I went up there, and I may have mentioned this before, but I went up to Memphis and took a U-Haul with me. And I purchased from the folks that inherited that shop a really, really kind son, Jeff, and their family. But I actually purchased a lot of their stock when that shop closed. Yeah. I went up there, and so in the Country Squire today is kind of a nod to Tobacco Corner. If you come in our shop today, you'll see three things you might recognize from Tobacco Corner. You'll see a big rack where they kept their tinned tobacco, and it was in the corner of that shop. And we have that now, and it proudly is in our tin corner where we have a lot of our, you know, Escudo and Nightcap and all those other things that, you know, people love to sift through. You'll also see a triple balance scale. And that was the scale that Elliot Abel used for decades at Tobacco Corner. And we have it's a smaller scale. It's
You've got your own scale.
We have our own scale that we've had since the beginning of our shop, but we got their scale too.
Yeah.
And their scale is over underneath our wall pipes, just on display. We don't use it, but it's right there.
A little bit of history right there.
And
on the walls,
and then third, we have their tobacco store Indian. We have their Indian.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he is about, you know, probably he's probably 6.5 feet tall and beautiful. And he is old and worn, but he has been, you know, good shape. And
he has seen some things.
And what he has seen some things. We're glad he can't talk. Right. But so anyway, kind of neat. So we have some mementos in the shop from. We also have a big sign that says Cigar Humidor, and that was the. That was the sign at the location of Tobacco Corner where Elvis would go. That right. was the sign in that store. So kind of neat there.
But, that's awesome.
Anyway, so where to locate this shop? Okay, we've went and you know, we've shadowed some and we've decided we're going to do this. And so there was an up and coming part of town that was over by the Pearl River, and it's really where Jackson ended, and it's at the end of Lakeland Drive, and Lakeland Drive really just kind of stopped, and they had just built this real kitschy, you know, shopping center to make everyone think of the French Quarter in New Orleans, and you know, at the time it was probably kind of cool, but it didn't really age well and it wasn't taken care of over the years. But you know, in 1960, it's like, oh, this makes me think of the French Quarter. And so they called it the Quarter, and Mr. Reeves located a spot in there that they could afford and that the bank would approve a loan for and all this kind of stuff. And they signed a lease and decided, hey, we're going to plant our flag here. You know, they had to figure out what to name this store. You know, what do we name this shop? And they fretted over this a lot because they didn't know if a pipe shop was going to make it in Jackson. And so, and I've told this story before, I know, but, you know, they... All the old-fashioned tobacconists that were either in the industrial Midwest or New England, you know, they had these stately names, right? Someone's name, like L.J. Peretti, Ewan Reese, yes. You know, in Washington, D.C., you got W. Curtis Draper, you know, these names. Or they had names that had some type of tobacco in the name, some kind of reference to, you know, Smoker's Haven or the Tobacco Bowl or, you know, some kind of name like that, that immediately said like, oh, this is a smoke shop, right? And Mr. Reeves and Mrs. Reeves wanted to go a third route, but they also wanted to give themselves a little insurance because they weren't sure a smoke shop was going to make it in Jackson. And so they, after a lot of hand-wringing, decided to name the shop the Country Squire. And the Country Squire is a great name for a smoke shop. It you know, kind of breeds a little sophistication, and it's interesting, and it has a little bit of flair to it. But probably the most comforting part for them is that if a smoke shop failed in Jackson, Mississippi, they could immediately switch business models and start selling you know, furniture or, you know, hats or, you know, men's accessories. You know, it could become a barber shop. I mean, there's so many things that you could start a business with the name like the Country Squire and sell whatever you want, you know? And so that's what they did. The logo is so powerful to me. I love that shield. And I love that. I love the pipe with the swirling tobacco smoke. And the story behind that is Mrs. Reeves, about 2 weeks before they opened, she was up one night doodling on a notepad. And she said she told me she was, you know, had like a towel on her head because she has taken a bath and was sitting up at night in bed just kind of doodling. And yeah. And that's where she drew that logo. She drew it herself, and really
It's beautiful calligraphy.
And it is. Yeah. It's really neat. So it was formed in August 11th, 1970. That was the first day the business opened. And I still have the deposit slip from that day, which is really neat. Someday I hope to bring our museum space back out where I can kind of put some of those things on display. And, you know, it was really, Jackson is and was a small town, but it was kind of in a strategic place that really helped the country squire. And it really, really helped get this smoke shop off the map and also create some fans across our part of the country. And so it's halfway between Dallas and Atlanta. And so big thoroughfare going through there with lots of shipping traffic and whatnot. It's also halfway almost exactly between Memphis and New Orleans. And right. So you have this this kind of nexus there, this crossroads where just a lot of traffic is going through, even at that point in American history. And so it became kind of this shop that had kind of was bigger than its britches a little bit, you know, like,
right.
Like what is a shop like this doing in Jackson, Mississippi? And, well, it's because it maybe hit a little harder than folks thought it should have. And it was kind of neat. It was a very successful Sheraton dealer. You know, they had one of their first grand events in 1973. They had the most expensive pipe in the world featured there at the Country Squire. Still got advertisements for that was in our local paper.
Come but, see the most expensive pipe in the world.
Yeah,
Country Squire, Jackson, Mississippi.
It was a $10,000 Sheraton.
$10,000 Sheraton.
Which, I mean, you can't even fathom that. I don't even know what would make a Sheraton a $10,000 pipe. But and that's in $1970, wow, you know, which is crazy. But, you know, and even though pipes were...
I know exactly what would make at that price. A price tag. Like, literally, just like, that's all. Just add another zero right there. We just made history.
I know. The Sheraton logo. That's right.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's it. And, you know, even though pipes were king, they had a cigar selection. Yeah. We had, you know, the shop had Mississippi's first walk-in humidor. And Carlos Fuente, not Carlito, but Carlos, the dad himself, he opened up that Fuente account in the early 70s.
Man.
And as he was going through the Southeast, kind of getting that brand really off the ground and in the form that it's in today. And so...
is that a lifelong account?
Like, pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, we've had that account, you know, since almost the very beginning of the shop.
That's
because,
amazing. Yeah.
I mean, we're one of the oldest Fuente accounts in the Southeast. And, you know, ever since then, even when we were kind of not even known for cigars, people would always know, man, if you want an Opus X or if you want a certain size of Hemingway or, you know, whatever the Fuente was that you're looking for, you know, you need to go to that little dumpy pipe shop over there because they've got it.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, it was an exciting time. They opened locations all over the city. Country Squire at one point had four locations, which is really neat. Mr. Reeves died in 1981, and Mrs. Reeves was really it was very unexpected. He was 63, you know, a young man really in today's not young, but today we don't think of 63 as being particularly old. But he passed away, and Mrs. Reeves was charged with, you know, providing for her family from then until she died, and so she ran the shop with her two daughters' help the next 30 years of her life. And so most of this history of the Country Squire was actually a female owned and operated business, which is kind of neat. So pretty special. The Tinderbox opened in the 1980s at the Country or in Jackson, and that was kind of our main rival for a few years. It was at Metro Center. So did you ever go to Metro Center when you were a kid?
Oh, man. It's been a minute.
See, I was a public school kid. So, like, we went to Metro Center.
Well,
like,
so
we went down there to play, like, at the arcade and stuff.
They had the, I want to say the Cosmic, gosh, what was that store called? It was like the Cosmic Comet or something of that nature. And it was the only comic book shop in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I remember going there with my grandparents. They would take us there. But it was... That was the most, like, every single like stereotype you have in your head about a early 90s comic book shop.
Right.
That was it.
That was it.
Gross. Like, you know, I mean, like just like dirty, nasty, and then like weird kind of like back corner to it and everything. Uh-huh. It was like, it was just the whole nine. But
I kind of feel like Metro Center itself was kind of like that. It just, I don't know. It was interesting. But that, but the Tinderbox was there, and it was our only competition really in town for several years until it closed in the early 90s. And matter of fact, our dear friend Russ Hicks, that's where he got his start smoking a pipe.
That's right.
Was at the Tinderbox. And after the Tinderbox closed, the Squire kind of absorbed a lot of those customers, and a lot of those folks have been with us ever since then. So the 90s came, and because, you know, the family was we had Mr. Reeves passed away and a lot of family changes and things like that, the shop kind of consolidated its locations down to the original location in the corner. It was really common for, you know, if you were to come in and get your half pound of Cornishman or, you know, pound of Cherokee or whatever it was really, really common for one of the Reeves grandkids to weigh up your tobacco, which, you know, which I hope is the case for my kids one day.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'd really like that. And that's about the time that Piper the dog made his appearance too. So Piper was a black lab that kind of basically lived at the shop. And so people would come and just hang out with the dog and, you know, not even really smoke tobacco or anything, but they just would come and drink coffee and hang out with Mrs. Reeves and tell stories and, you know, pet the dog. It was just kind of part of the charm of the location.
Now, this wouldn't be a dog that would later kind of make an appearance on some of the branding for a certain pipe tobacco from the Country Squire, would it? I think Hunting Creek, right? Hunting Creek has a dog featured.
It does have a dog featured on it. And I actually don't know if that's related to Piper or not, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah, not sure. But it was during this time in the 90s when, really, back in the 70s, there was a crazy Southern comedian named Jerry Clower. And if you are just in, if you have any familiarity with the kind of old fashioned culture in the South, things like the Grand Ole Opry or, you know, stuff like that, you are probably aware of Jerry Clower. But Jerry Clower was just a comedian. He went all over the country telling these jokes about him and his hound dog and, you know, playing football at Mississippi State and, you know, chewing tobacco and all this kind of, he was wholesome, but he was also funny and silly. And he wore these, you know, flamboyant suits and all this kind of stuff. And he was, his home at when he was in Jackson was at the Country Squire, and so he would go up there and hold court and get a lot of laughs, and that was kind of part of our fabric for several years. We have had several kind of local celebrities through the years too hang out at the shop, and so I've mentioned before when Willie Morris wrote My Dog Skip. Willie Morris is a native of Yazoo City, Mississippi, and when he wrote the book My Dog Skip, which of course they eventually made a movie out of, it was published, and he brought copies of the book to the Country Squire immediately after picking it up from the post office and passed out signed copies at the Squire.
How about that? Yeah.
And pretty cool. The cigar boom happened in the 90s, and you know, that's when things started to change, and I think that's when a lot of pipe shops had to really decide what's your DNA? Like, what, you know, what are you going to represent? What are you going to be made of going forward? And so the Squire stuck to the pipe and did for maybe even foolishly. I mean, it was so committed to the pipe that it almost killed it. And it's kind of awesome. It was just so committed to the pipe in the middle of the cigar boom. And so the Reeves family did try to pivot enough to absorb some and cater to some cigar smokers during that season. But, you know, it is and has been always a pipe shop and continues to be. You know, other locations of different cigar shops kind of popped up around town and have come and gone since. But since then, you know, we've just kind of stuck to the pipe while, you know, trying to learn how to be a cigar shop as well. In 2011, I started working there. Mrs. Reeves hired me. And in 2012, she died. And that was personally a really difficult season for me because I was going through a lot of emotional adjustments. And then Mrs. Reeves had become a really close friend of mine. I mean, she was a 90-year-old woman, and she had really mothered me in some ways that was very precious. And I think about her a lot, you know, but she passed away. Her daughter, Kim, inherited the business. And it was at this real turning point. We had to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? Like, are we going to keep this thing open? You know, and if we are, what's our DNA going to be? And that's about the time that a crazy friend of mine stumbled into my life and said, "You want to start a podcast?" And so we were this kind of smoke shop that, you know, our local area had kind of forgotten. We had quite a few mail order customers at the point, and so we still sent tobacco all over the world, but not nearly anything like we do now. But our local market had kind of forgotten us because we were just that weird little pipe shop over there. And I was a seminary dropout working there, part time, and then managing the shop after Mrs. Reeves passed away. And Bo and I had met a couple years before, maybe at a Bible study or something. And Bo, you know, you created this kind of media company. You had this vision of developing these podcasts. And,
well, and this is where I got to like inject a little bit here because, yeah. You know, the classic, John David brand of, oh, it's a dumpy little pipe shop and everything. And like, oh, all shucks, golly. No, man, look, this is the reality is that when I had this idea, when I wanted to start a podcast company, I had theories around what would work as a podcast.
Yeah.
And one of the things I felt was really important was to bring the concept of experience into an audio format, right? And so you need to find in that situation, there needs to be a unique and special experience that can really translate and kind of invite people into a space, a mental space, but that's based off of physical space.
Because you
right?
can't create the special experience.
Exactly.
What you saw, I'm putting words in your mouth, but what you saw probably was a special experience that you wanted to encapsulate in a podcast.
Right, exactly.
So it did have its own merits. It really did.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Yeah. Like there was such a specialness to the Country Squire, to the community that had started to kind of, you know, kind of grow and like evolve. Yeah. You know, you had kind of these legacy customers. You had, you know, you being there, you know, especially just the generational separation that was, you know, Miss Reeves and you,
right,
with her, with her longtime customers, with you coming in, younger guy, kind of college, you know, fresh out of college and everything else, you know, and so you've got these seminarians that are coming in and all of these different folks coming together. Yeah, there's this moment where this was such a special place.
Yeah.
And it, you know, my thought at the time was, you know, we can give people the opportunity to take the specialness of what the Squire is, to take the uniqueness of this experience, to bring it with them when they're not at the shop. So the idea is they already know what it's like to be here,
right?
To be at this shop. And what we want to do is we want to try to give them that sense of hanging out at the Country Squire to take with them and to kind of like, you know, you're stuck at work or whatever it is, you kind of listen and you can kind of be instantly transported to the Country Squire.
You're still there.
Yeah. And then, you know, also kind of encouraging that stickiness and that brand loyal, if you want to use all that marketing jargon. But the reality is that's what the goal was.
Yeah.
But what we discovered,
and look what happened.
What we discovered was that it wasn't just people who have had a taste of that wanted to like be to have that experience with them to remind them of what they have. There were so many people that didn't have that and want like and were just
never
really craving
it.
Exactly that unique experience of what the Country Squire was. And it's interesting because we built everything around kind of a bubble of time, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the Squire has grown, it's changed everything that has kind of come from it, everything. And yet, like, you know, there's kind of this, I don't know, it's I think that it needs to be like celebrated and you need to be given like very much like a lot of affirmation in the fact that you created a unique experience that so many people worldwide wanted to be a part of. Yeah. You know what I mean? The podcast was just an avenue for putting that on blast.
Right.
But like, that's the thing. Right. So, you know, dusty old yada, yada, yada. Okay. Very, very good hokey but John Davidism. But like
but
the reality
magic
is,
was there.
It was a magical
the
place.
The magic was there.
Absolutely.
And it has been for decades.
Yes.
Indeed. And so I receive that. I accept that and receive. And it's true. It really is true. It's like, how do you, people want to be a part of a story. And so but you don't have to create the story. The stories are real. The stories have been created because life, right? And so, and the Squire was one of those places that was that had the sauce, you know, it just, it had that, all those ingredients. And Bo, when you stumbled into my life and we decided to make Country Squire Radio, you know, it brought the story of the Squire to the world, and it changed. It didn't fundamentally change the character of the Country Squire,
right?
But it fundamentally changed the trajectory of our business success. And now, 10 years later, that was 2013.
It's 2013.
10 years later, we are, you know, our once sleepy little shop, you know, is now one of the leading brick and mortar pipe dealers in the United States.
How about that? And a pipe capital of the world.
And a pipe capital of the world.
Oh, look at that. Bring it home. How about that, man?
Well, and I, you know, so I've talked a long time, but
my pipes are very thankful for that.
Well, they are. Your pipes are well rested because my pipes have talked a long time. But if you're listening to this and you've been with us a while, you are part of the reason that our sleepy little shop has become become a center for the pipe community.
Yeah,
and I thank you for the privilege of shepherding that. I thank you for giving me the privilege of being a part of that. Thank you. Thank you.
I think what you said at the beginning about kind of your role as steward, I think is beautiful. I think that's exactly right. And the mindset that many of us need to have with whatever our calling may be.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that people want to be part of a story, and the reality is that the thousands of folks who are listening right now, y'all are all part of that story of the Country Squire.
You're a part of that.
Yeah. And have been for years now.
I really want that to land.
Yeah.
Like that, like, you're a part of that.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, you've supported us, you're a part of that. Thank you.
And next week, That story is we're about to turn the page, and so many folks are actually going to be able to bring their stories to the location of the Country Squire.
Yeah.
As we have our final two episodes live from the Country Squire, man, live in the shop. And,
it's precious.
Yeah. It's about to be crazy. It's about to be insane, but it's going to be a lot of fun, man. Thank you. You know, I love the fact that not only does this shop have such a beautiful story, but through your stewardship, you have preserved so much history of what that story is, the different people that have kind of come to like be part of that and inspired it and trained those who came before. And it's all, you've essentially created a museum of history. You're starting to curate that and kind of grow that and showcase that. It's a recognition, not just of like, how can I innovate? Innovation is good,
right?
But not just how can I innovate, but how can I celebrate what came before and
recognize
that?
See, that's the thing. And I know we've gone way too long on this, but I need to say a couple more things.
Okay, go for it.
How do you become a modern tobacconist without losing your soul?
Wow. Okay.
And that is something that I struggle with every day when I go to work.
Yeah.
Because the modern smoke shop oftentimes is not the kind of place Mrs. Reeves would have gone into.
Right.
And is not the kind of place my wife would want me to hang out.
Right.
And is not the kind of place that, you know, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien might have been happy to be associated with.
Right.
So,
from the vape shop to the executive cigar, you know, suite,
So, but how do you cater to the modern smoker's sensibilities without losing your soul?
Right.
And that question, threading that needle, is what drives me every day.
Yeah.
And I have to remember that because this is not like, okay, what product can we bring in here to make some more cash? We have to keep our identity as a safe place for thoughtful people who are looking for community. and they just happen to want to smoke a doggone pipe.
Mm.
That's where I live,
man.
And I want, if anyone thinks about our business, I want them to think about that we have protected that, and we have curated it with integrity, and we've done it well.
There it is. The pipe pilgrimage has been something that folks have enjoyed for years during this show. It's been something that listeners of the show have kind of come up with organically.
Yeah.
The pipe pilgrimage doesn't need to stop with Country Squire Radio.
Yeah.
No matter what time, no matter what year, you know, maybe you're listening to this 5 years in the future.
Yeah.
You're welcome into this space. You're welcome to come to the Country Squire. Please do. Pull up a stool. Let the tobacconist behind the bar blend you up something great. Pack your pipe and enjoy good times with good folks from all over, different, diverse backgrounds, sharing stories, debating.
Yeah.
And all threading that needle together.
Yeah.
Hey, man, here's to the Country Squire.
Cheers.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.